As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg.
Weekdays 9 to 11.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
My name is Chanson Brummett. I'm a Pensacola resident and homeowner, and I'm here to ask you to terminate the Pensacola Police contract with Flock. This is a contract that was made without our consent and without our input. It's honestly upsetting how familiar we are to being left out of the decision-making process. Backdoor deals and secret meetings are more familiar to us than transparency and community meetings.
All right, so the socialists are back. Chanson Brummett, his wife Sarah, and a couple of other people who... And I mean, I'm not being pejorative. I mean, maybe I am, but they actually wear shirts. They're the Party for Socialism and Liberation. They're literally the socialists. They show up wearing socialist shirts. Not every time, but oftentimes, which I appreciate. I like people who are honest about what they believe and aren't afraid to admit when they're part of a, you know, fringe party. But they are interested in my interpretation. They are interested in any story that makes DC look bad, any story that makes the city government look bad. They are trying deliberately to destabilize the city government and the county government, too, by the way. They show up at the county government, too. But they are wanting massive revolution inside the city. I mean, they're socialists. Of course, that's what they want. They look at New York City, and they're emboldened. So they show up here to talk about the Flock plate readers, the license plate readers at the city of Pensacola police and the, you know, Escambia County and Gulf Breeze. And basically, everybody in our area uses these to observe cars as they're driving and to find cars that are driven by dangerous people or people who have warrants or various things. It's not effective to use them to find people who just have, you know, suspended licenses or things like that, but they could if they wanted to. Okay. So Chanson Brummett, one of the speakers, says, first of all, this is wrong because you did backroom deal, loaded language in philosophy we talk about is when you're describing a thing in an emotional way to manipulate the perception people have of that thing, a backroom deal implies or claims that there's something secretive, something furtive, something, you know, that people trying to keep away from prying eyes and transparency and public input did in a way that's nefarious or whatever. I mean, literally, in this case, it's like, you know, they put in a call to Flock and they order them. It's not, you know. But if you describe something that was an administrative decision by PPD as opposed to brought before council and hashed out and discussed, well, that's automatically a backroom deal. Well, okay, you can object that it wasn't done in public, but that's not the same as it being some nefarious thing. You know, it was done at some secretive club somewhere in somebody's basement while they were, you know, getting ready to invite Diddy over to figure out what to do with themselves. Like, but that's the implication. And you can notice that same abusive language throughout their presentation.
We shouldn't have to wake up to news that our city has agreed to spend our tax money on a contract with Flock. I think the real problem is, you know, if you asked us, that your answer would be, we don't want Flock in our city, the same way we don't want Bayou District Consulting in our city. We don't want cameras collecting our data so it can be used to support agencies like ICE and Border Patrol. Flock has no business on our streets watching our every move and sending it off to whoever the city decides they want to make a deal with.
Now, see, that's actually a really interesting point. That's a much more neutral description of the case where... why didn't this get discussed in public? And he says, you didn't discuss it in public because people would be against it and you knew there would be drama. Now, I don't know whether there was an overt decision to avoid bringing it to council. But it's the kind of thing that because you can imagine some people being upset about it, you can imagine why some might say, well, you should bring that before the public before you just install these plate readers. Now, the flip side of that is that law enforcement would like to say, I think a lot of times, hey, let's not talk too much about this because we don't love the bad guys to know everything we're capable of. And they have been around longer than you think. That's just true. Okay, so this is, you know, in a lot of cases, this is not some new thing. It's a new, exciting thing to talk about, but it's not new. And there was a period of time where, you know, we knew they were around and, you know, law enforcement was using them and it wasn't a publicized story. And so, you know, shh, because don't tell the bad guys all the stuff. And Chanson is bringing up the point that, hey, we don't want, you know, secret police activities. Well, you know, there's all kinds of secret police activities in terms of methods and sources and tactics that they use that they don't go in front of council and advertise. Because they don't want to tell the bad guys everything that we're doing.
If you want to keep us safe, if safety is your concern, let's work on providing people with jobs and livable wages. Let's stand up to the price gouging of Florida Power and Light. Let's get people into homes and stop putting the profits of developers over the needs of the people. And let's get ICE off of our streets and out of our city.
Let's just throw everything I care about into one 30-second soundbite. Fantastic. By the way, the premise that if you really want public safety, the way to do that is to have jobs and, you know, employment and good wages. Well, that's the socialist talking point, right? Is that you can solve all crime. People are basically good if only they have, you know, jobs and they're not dealing with oppressive ICE or whatever, then there won't be any crime, which has never turned out to be true. But anyway, we'll come back to this in a sec because it is a very interesting conversation. PJ is sitting in for John Pickens today with traffic on the fives. PJ?
The front gate of NS Pensacola backed up to about Interbay. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Mobile Highway clear through Beulah. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks
back to you.
So much. PJ, back to the discussion about the Flock license plate readers, particularly in the city of Pensacola, but they're all over our area. I think all the local agencies use them, and they're certainly widely in use throughout the rest of Florida and much of the rest of the United States. Sarah Brummett, Chance's wife.
I'm here tonight because of the unfortunate pattern in the city, the pattern in which city leadership makes decisions that are ultimately out of public view, and then massages the public's perception in order to avoid pushback. In this case, I'm here to speak about the fact that this city, through the police department, signed a contract to install Flock cameras, which, for those who don't know what Flock is, it's an AI-powered mass surveillance technology straight out of a dystopian sci-fi movie. And so we signed this contract, our city signed this contract, while speaking about it very euphemistically as traffic cameras in meetings and to the people.
Okay, there's two different things that are going on in the city of Pensacola, and she's sort of mashing them together. Although I sympathize with her point. You know, I'm the guy who's 1984 is bad, Brave New World is bad, Minority Report is bad. These, you know, things where the AI is running things, where the AI is surveilling us, where there's all kinds of surveillance all the time. This is all dangerous stuff. I actually agree with that concern. To a degree. But she's sort of putting red light cameras and Flock license plate reading cameras together into one general thing about traffic cameras. And they are two separate things, just to keep it, you know, just to keep the information clear.
This technology presents a serious risk to all of our privacy and civil liberties. These systems continuously record all of our movements without a warrant, without probable cause, or even without reasonable suspicion. The data Flock collects is often secretly shared with thousands of other agencies nationwide who can and do misuse it.
All right. The most important thing about this is, to what degree are the cameras justified on the principle of a public place and you engaging in driving behavior? Those are the two relevant features here. So, public place. If a police officer with her or his eyes were standing on the corner taking down all the license plates that went past the intersection, would that be a legal surveillance or an illegal surveillance? Well, it's legal, obviously. You're in public and you have no right to the expectation of privacy in public from law enforcement agents watching you drive, right? That's completely allowed. Well, the cameras are just a much more comprehensive, efficient, prevalent version of having cops. It's impossible to put enough cops with enough cognitive resources out on the street to watch everybody's license plates. But the Flock plate readers can do this at strategic locations and can watch tens of thousands of license plates and provide that information when it happens to be relevant to law enforcement action. So, public place, therefore justified. Second, driving. Driving is a permitted, not an entitled behavior. You have to go get a license. You have to carry insurance. You have to insure that car. You have to be insured as a driver of that car. Can the police watch you driving your car, even to some degree in private? And the answer, I mean, it depends on the trespass law. Okay, but and the answer is because it's a permitted, not an entitled activity. You don't have a right to drive. They can obviously surveil you. So the camera is doing something the police are lawfully allowed to do. If all it's doing is recording license plates and if it's comparing those against some database of known criminals' license plates or whatever. Now, if it's being used for other purposes, if it's being shared, if it's developing patterns, if you're following ex-girlfriends and that kind of stuff, now we have a real problem. And there have been examples of some of that. But that's not widespread. And we're kind of, Sarah and her husband and the others who are with them are kind of preying on those particular extreme examples to argue that the whole thing is bad. Now, you might think the thing is bad. You might not like the idea of a semi-surveillance state that having these flock plate readers all over the place creates. Raylene Solis, there were several speakers that came with the socialists, and she was one of them. And again, I'm just kind of letting their point be made as much as possible. But the question I have for you is, what do you think? Do you like having the plate readers out and around, or do you wish we did not have them?
This contract allows our police department to distribute flock data with third parties like ICE and CBP, who are known to request police departments for this data to aid them in operations that become more lawless by the day, with illegally detaining U.S. citizens, racially profiling people, and becoming judge, jury, and executioner in the case of Renee Nicole Good and others that have died.
They're so invested in the echo chamber of socialists, liberals, progressive, who are not all the same thing. The throwing in of, you know, Renee Good, as if judge, jury, well, I mean, killing somebody does not make you judge, jury, and executioner. That's an exaggeration. That's why I don't like loaded language in politics particularly. But the sharing of information, the potential abuse of the cameras, I think is a reasonable concern to have. What safeguards are there? And here's where it gets, to me, very interesting. A guy like Larry Downs Jr., who is a local plumber, who's a very involved, you know, political curmudgeon activist. He's a libertarian slash anarchist. He doesn't believe in government almost ever. That's his perspective. He views himself as being very American. I think that whether he is or is not depends a lot on, you know, what the issue is and what the Constitution says. But he thinks of himself as a very high constitutional-minded libertarian, okay? Just so you kind of get the background here. So when he comes in agreeing with the socialists, oh, pay attention, right? It's kind of an interesting moment.
Hey, y'all know, I told y'all with the red light cameras, I don't believe in this Big Daddy government stuff. But y'all got to have it for your safety. What's about safety, Larry? I'd rather get a ticket. Say, what, remember Patrick Henry? Give me liberty or give me death. Now it's, if it'll save one life.
And by the way, he's not wrong about this. The inversion from the emphasis on liberty, what he likes to call dangerous liberty, and I agree, liberty is dangerous, in a necessary way, like that's an important feature of it. The if it'll save just one life is not a justification for the vast number of government projects and programs and even things like the Vision Zero. We've talked about this before, trying to save all the lives on the road. You could do it at an extraordinary cost, not just money-wise, but in terms of limited mobility and speed of motion.
Do y'all see the problem with that? It's upside-down clown world. Our founding fathers fought over a 3% tax and
right.
the Great Britain to tell them to put their guns down. Something that small.
Yeah, and he's right about that. Historically, when we staged a revolution over a tiny tax.
And here we
among other things.
And here we are with masked men. And I don't agree with most of these cuckoos. Y'all know that.
The socialists.
Just the way it is. But when masked men run around.
Talking ice now.
Historically, has it ever been a good thing for men to wear a mask? Conceal their identity? It never has. That's for cowards.
And he's not wrong about that. There are limited situations in which concealing your identity for like undercover work or something like that might make sense. Or because people are trying to, you know, expose people and show who they are and make them be at risk because of who they are. But generally speaking, having people in masks run around enforcing laws in the state, no, that's not a good thing. He's right.
So you see how if we just stick with freedom, the basic principles of liberty, giving other people the opportunity or the permission to video us. That's, y'all have to disagree with that. At all times, I mean, y'all think it's okay for y'all, for our government to treat us like children? What is wrong with y'all? How do you ever I get it. Safety, Larry. My child needs safety. No, we need dangerous freedom every day. So although I don't agree with these people on a lot of things, freedom we can all come together on.
And that's the point, is if you allow enough of these incremental infringements, restrictions, even just surveillance itself, right, creates a change in behavior. If you know you're being, everybody knows you drive differently when you know there's a cop and when you don't think there's a cop, right? Same at the workplace, the old Hawthorne effect. If people are watching you, because if you just change the lighting, people feel like they're being watched and they behave differently than if they don't feel like they're being watched. Well, a population that feels like it's being watched behaves differently. That's a loss of freedom. Well, Andrew, you know, a population that feels like it's being watched doesn't engage in as much crime. Also true. Which is more significant? Well, that is a political question for us, you know, philosophers to answer. And it matters because we are allowing more surveillance all the time, like the Real-Time Crime Center, which I'm a supporter of. But there is a cost to a culture of freedom. Liberty also creates problems. And so I very much feel where Larry Downs is coming from on this. 625 on News Radio 92.3. What do you think? 437-1620. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. The front gate of NAS Pensacola is backed up to Interbay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all the fun things to do in Pensacola in the new year, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and so much more.
Friday at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Well, I got a message, I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
Good morning, 627 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We're talking about the ruckus being raised at the city council meeting, Pensacola City Council, about the flock license plate reading cameras that PPD uses, Escambia Sheriff uses them, Santa Rosa Sheriff uses them, Gulf Breeze Police, everybody uses them. Are they a significant infringement of our liberty? A couple of texts in here. Somebody says, Justin says, people who aren't doing anything wrong don't mind being watched. Not true. I don't like being watched, even when I'm not doing anything wrong. I can honestly say I don't care if there are cameras watching me do what I do. My life is so boring, they will have nothing to look at. They'll basically get a front row seat to watching me go to work every day, come home, and go to church on the weekends. Happy viewing, Pensacola. Let's see. Somebody else says, how about how many kidnapped persons, lost silver alert persons? That's a fair question. That was Justin. The previous was somebody else. Sorry, I confused the sources. Somebody else says, can law enforcement use these cameras to observe a car leaving a bar? Sure, could do, theoretically. Also, this says they love Larry's comment on masked men being cowards. Let's see. Someone here says, wait, socialists hate surveillance states now? I can't keep up. That's a good point. Yeah, well, when you're not in power, you have certain rules. And then when you are in power, you have certain different rules, right? These people arguing public cameras about being tracked and traced must not carry cell phones. No, good point. Yeah. Cell phones are reporting on you all the time in all kinds of ways. You know, the reason you have, like, Google traffic is based on your cell phone, which, by the way, cracks me up when I happen to know, because I live close by West Florida High School on Burgess, And what people do is, to wait to pick up their kids in the afternoon, they park on the side of the road in the grass where it says don't park on the grass. You know, they all park there on the side of the road. And you can drive through the area. It's a speed zone, so you can go, you know, 20 or 15 or whatever it is. But it's pretty open until the kids start letting out. But if you look on Google Maps, it looks like a totally dark red zone because you have all of these people in their cars with their cell phones sitting still. So it looks like no motion is happening because your cell phone surveillance is reporting on you all the time. Meanwhile, you can actually drive through the air. Just, you know, fascinating kind of aside on how that stuff works. David Wayne is in the newsroom with
allegedly.
Our head. We'll get to David in just a second. Let's see. Somebody says, freedom is not the removal of the expectation to moderate oneself. There must be guardrails and consequences for violating social order. Seems like a typical anarchist changing positions to whatever gets him attention to avoid personal accountability. And there's some truth in that. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A former Olympic snowboarder linked to murder and narcotics crimes is expected to appear in a federal court in California today. Ryan Wedding was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list for allegedly trafficking cocaine and ordering a murder. The FBI says he was taken into custody last Thursday in Mexico City. And
you notice that I'm not making my snowboarder arrested for powder crimes, right? Just...
progress.
Go on.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I still made it, I guess, there. Anyway, go on.
Well, the Fed is expected to announce its first interest rate decision of the year. What happens Wednesday at the conclusion of a two-day meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee. It's expected that they'll leave interest rates unchanged for the time being.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Supreme Court, here's a case about gun carry rights on private property. Coming up.
Jalousie, a massive winter storm knocked out power to more than 800,000 customers across the country, covering cities with snow and ice. This woman in Washington, D.C.
This doesn't feel like real snow. It feels more like tiny ice pellets. Yeah. So while it looks like snow, if you pick it up in your hand, it's like basically freezing rain turned to ice.
There are 3,600 canceled flights today. Yesterday, it was more than 11,000. The storm didn't stop protesters from swarming a Minnesota hotel overnight they believed was housing ICE agents.
The anger in the state has intensified after the fatal shooting of 37-year-old Alex Preddy. DHS Secretary Christine Noem says her agency is leading the probe, but state officials say they want to do an investigation as well, and they've secured a temporary restraining order blocking federal officials from destroying evidence.
It's Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and it is cloudy right now. We've got 30 degrees here across the area with cloudy skies. We'll get to our full forecast in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. Escambia County Commissioner Lumen May says he is working with Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves to restore meal service at the Cobb Center. Seniors at that facility, well, they haven't received meals from the Council on Aging since last August. Resident Rosa Johnson spoke at Thursday's County Commission meeting. She says the disruption stems from a conflict between the Council on Aging employee and a city worker.
Although Cobb Center's in the city, whether they're seniors at Evanwood or Brownsville, I know that those seniors are on fixed incomes. And that's one of the things we've done even when we did not receive funding. We personally and went out to community to make sure people are going to be fed, and we're going to continue to work with that. And I'm going to put in a call to Council on Aging this week.
That is District 3 Commissioner Lumen May, who says he has already contacted Mayor Reeves, who assured him that the issue is being addressed. The Cobb Center, located within city limits, but also within Commissioner May's county district. City officials said last week that they had tried to resolve the issue, but... where the meals are served is ultimately up to the Council on Aging. Now, the America's First Settlement Trail Foundation wants to sell engraved bricks at Florida Square to raise money for a permanent trail. The location is where Pensacola's Confederate Monument stood before it was removed in 2020. The three-mile trail was established in 2022 and modeled after Boston's Freedom Trail. The red paint marking the route, though, starting to fade. Founder Michael Caro says the bricks would cost $150 to $500, depending on size. The first phase would aim to raise at least $129,000. The Parks and Recreation Board approved the plan. It now has to go to City Council for further approval. Penn Air Credit Union has announced 8 nonprofits as recipients of the 2026 Communerosity Charities Program. The charities were nominated and voted on by Penn Air employees. Recipients include Child Guardians, the Miracle League of Pensacola, Esca Rosa Suicide Prevention Coalition, the Wildlife Sanctuary of Northwest Florida, Operation Reconnect, the Girl Scouts of Southern Alabama, Eco Clean Marine, and St. Francis Service Dogs. Each of those nonprofits will receive monetary donations and volunteer support. Since 2013, Penn Air and its employees have contributed more than $500,000 to local nonprofits. Well, this Wednesday marks 40 years since the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster, one of the most painful moments in America's space history. Challenger broke apart just 73 seconds into launch from Cape Canaveral, killing seven astronauts, bringing the space program to a halt. In the hours after the explosion, President Ronald Reagan addressed the nation.
We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
The Challenger crew is honored alongside the Columbia astronauts and Apollo 1 crew. All of them were remembered during ceremonies last week. More tributes are planned this week at NASA centers nationwide. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Taking a look at the big board right now, we have a hit-and-run crash in Santa Rosa County, Navarre Parkway at Elevate Avenue. Use caution through that area. Otherwise, the roads are looking good. I-10, 110, both looking good at this hour. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And 30 and cloudy right now. Let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3.
It is going to be a very cold start to your day with breezy conditions. Temperatures starting off in the 20s, feeling much cooler with the wind. High near 43 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back below freezing, 24 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, sunny skies, high near 48. And Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 20s, 28 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It is 6:36. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Marbury with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower at the start of the week as investors looked ahead to the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision and continued to monitor geopolitical and trade uncertainty. The 10-year Treasury yield was down by nearly 3 basis points to 4.211%. Oil prices are currently mixed as U.S. sends Armada to Iran and slaps on new sanctions to go along with it. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $61.05 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $65.91 per barrel. Toyota has announced it is recalling about 162,000 pickup trucks in the United States after it was discovered that the vehicle's multimedia displays could compromise driver safety. The recall affects the company's model year 2024 to 2025 Tundra and Tundra hybrid line of trucks. Affected customers are currently being notified. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 285. The NASDAQ up 65. That's your money now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down, get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling. including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Mardi Gras season is fun.
Until you don't know where you're going, what's closed, or why traffic stopped moving.
Laissez-les bon temps rouler.
News Radio 92.3 helps you enjoy it without the guesswork.
Let the good times roll.
Local updates, traffic info, and what's happening around town when it matters most. Have fun out there. Woo-hoo! We've got all the details. News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
Point that I guess I'm still stuck on is whether or not, in a world in which we all concede, and I think the United States is on board with this, that the Second Amendment yields to the property interests of a private property owner, such that the private property owner gets to consent as to whether or not you can carry a gun on his property. When we're in that world, what Second Amendment right is being infringed when the property owner says no, or when the state says the property owner's consent has to be expressed?
This is a great statement of the core question involved in this case in Hawaii, out of Hawaii, that was heard at the Supreme Court last week. This is Ketanji Brown Jackson. And if you're not familiar, I spent a lot of time talking about it last hour. I'll probably spend more time talking about it next hour because I think this is a very interesting case. And, you know, I love Supreme Court cases. And what you get normally in the coverage of them is so minimal that it doesn't really convey the depth and intricacy of a lot of these questions. This is a much more interesting question than it might seem at first. Here's the short version of it. Supreme Court ruled in the Bruin case that if you're going to infringe on people's right to carry a gun, you've got to show that historically the infringement that you are supporting or that is passed in law was something like that used to be allowed. You know, you could prohibit felons from owning guns. You could prohibit people from taking guns into schools. You can require that they have to be 18 or 21, maybe. You could argue that. Okay, the point is you have to be able to show historical justification. And in this case, what Hawaii has said is we are going to make it so that when you carry a gun into a store or into a gas station or onto, you know, private property, but not inside a home because a domicile with a closed door is you're not expected to be able to go there. That's private property open to the public is the phrase. And if that's going to happen, you cannot carry a gun in those situations without explicit consent from the private property owner. They have to post a sign that says you're allowed to come in here with your gun. Now, in practice, part of the problem with this is I don't have any idea how this would work in practice. For instance, if you're not allowed to go to the, let's say, Walmart parking lot, private property, without getting prior permission from who? The owner? The board of directors? The manager? The parking lot? Don't bring your gun here, attendant. Like, how would you even get the permission is part of the challenge here. In some cases, it's easier to understand than in others. But, you know, even imagine you can go into the parking lot, which is private property. What about the store itself? You know, you're at the Circle K and you're like getting ready to poke your head in the door with your either open or concealed carry in the state of Florida. Imagining, like, let's say Hawaii. Okay, you've got a gun and you poke your head in and you yell and say, "Hey, I got a gun. Is it okay to come in?" Like, you understand that just announcing it is going to carry a different level of concern. So practically, if you tell people they cannot carry a gun on private property open to the public without overt consent, the only time you're going to be able to do it is if somebody posts a sign, "Oh, come on in with your guns." Because practically, there's no other way you're going to get that kind of permission. And, you know, that's part of the problem. But she's raising a fair point, which is you can't just carry a gun everywhere. Somebody can tell you you can't come here with your gun. Just like they can tell you you can't come here with your, you know, political leaflet or you can't come here with your religious speech. You can infringe on people's, and it's not, you can tell people they cannot use what they would otherwise think of as their constitutional rights on your private property. not because their rights are limited, but because your property trumps their rights. You follow? The question in Hawaii is, which way does the presumption go? Are you presumed lawful carrying a gun on private property open to the public, or are you presumed unlawful until you get specific permission? And part of what's going to come up in this conversation is the problem of treating the Second Amendment like it's a second-class right. You can carry your political leaflets or your religious speech with you anytime and not be presumed in violation of the trespassing laws, but you can't carry a gun with you the same way.
Just think about, in the First Amendment context, you would say, no big deal. You are now going from a world where candidates can go door to door and for campaign speech, but now you have to have a big sign in your yard that says, political speech welcome for someone to go in. Or in the Second Amendment context, Hawaii's same reasoning would lead to a rule that it's fine to ban tenants from owning guns in self-defense unless the landlord in the contract expressly consents to doing so. And I really think the concept that this is just tweaking consent elides the burden that Hawaii is imposing here of presumptively banning open carry, public carry.
By the way, use of the word allied. My God, I didn't even know what it meant. It just means to ignore it or get rid of it. But wow, okay. This is Sarah Harris. She's the Deputy Solicitor General for the United States. So she's, you know, arguing on the behalf of the Trump administration in this case. And what she's saying is that you can't tell somebody, like, you can't come with your political leaflets to my front door. You can tell them they can't come in, but the notion that the presumption is that you can't go knock on doors to campaign, what? I mean, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. And so since you can't do it for the First Amendment, you couldn't do it for the Second Amendment.
It's 2026, and it is somewhat astonishing that black codes, which are unconstitutional, are being offered as evidence of what our tradition of constitutionally permissible firearm regulation looks like.
I talked about this quite a bit last hour, but one of the key analogs being used under the Bruin test, where you have to go find a historical law that was like this one that was allowed, is the black codes in Louisiana that prohibited people from carrying guns on private property like plantations. Because it was designed to keep black people down in their kind of pre-Civil War slavery situation, even though they were, you know, Jim Crow kinds of laws, what they called black code laws. And the other side, the left, is using black codes as justification for this restriction, which is an amazing thing in 2026. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Still working that hit-and-run crash, Santa Rosa County, Navarre Parkway at Elevate Avenue. Use caution through that area. No delays in Oliver Burgess in Pensacola. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Ketanji Brown Jackson, the only black justice on the court, which I just think is fascinating that even she is willing to say, well, but look at these black codes. I mean, can't we use those as an example? Now, part of her reason is because she wants to undermine the Bruin test. She doesn't, you know, she thinks that either you have to get rid of using black codes or you have to get rid of the Bruin test because they were a historical example. It's a kind of a weird little dilemma. But it's still fascinating that the only black justice on the Supreme Court is basically rushing to the defense of the black codes as a basis for restricting gun carrying on private property without overt consent prior to it.
In addition, the fact that the black codes were at some later point determined themselves to be unconstitutional doesn't seem to me to be relevant to the assessment that Bruin is asking us to make. So can you say more about that?
Absolutely. Black codes were unconstitutional from the moment of their inception because they are pretextual laws that are designed to ensure that newly freed slaves are returned to a condition of sharecropping.
Okay, let me stop you there. They were not deemed unconstitutional at the time that they were enacted. They were part of the history and tradition of the country. And when we have a test now that's asking us to look at what people were doing back then, I don't understand why they should be excluded.
Because they are outliers. They are, by definition, unconstitutional. They have
found later,
unconstitutional.
Afterwards, not at the time.
This is a weird position to take. She's saying that because they weren't immediately as passed in, for example, in this case, Louisiana, found to be unconstitutional, they weren't unconstitutional at the beginning. No, when you later have to go through the process of showing that the law was unconstitutional, that doesn't suddenly make it so. It was so before. It just hadn't been recognized as such. And I'm kind of surprised that she would make this mistake. Anyway, the point is that the law trying to restrict black rights post-Civil War and Reconstruction, these laws were unconstitutional, even if they weren't found to be so later, because it takes time to find a law to be unconstitutional. Anyway, ignore that for the moment. But it was fascinating to hear Sarah Harris talk about this
History and tradition of the Second Amendment are particularly important because it is codifying a pre-existing right. To figure out and
That's important. The law, for example, the Second Amendment, doesn't give you the right to keep and bear arms. The Second Amendment recognizes, codifies, specifically protects a pre-existing right to keep and bear arms. The First Amendment doesn't give you the right to speech and religion. It respects and recognizes it. That is a very important thing she's saying that we often lose in this debate, as though if the Second Amendment went away, you wouldn't have gun rights anymore. What? I mean, you might, as a matter of law, they might try to restrict, and certainly they would. But the law respects your right to self-defense, your right to political autonomy, to protect against a domestic tyranny. Those are things that the Second Amendment recognizes. It does not create them. We sometimes forget that. So it's an important point she's making.
Figure out in sort of common law fashion what the national history and tradition are. You throw out outliers. And I can think of no greater outlier than blatantly unconstitutional laws that flipped what had been the tradition in states like Louisiana. And during the period before those states were readmitted to the Union, for the purpose of trying to reduce newly freed slaves back to conditions of servitude, made it a new crime, new trespass, in order to go about armed on private property. Those are obvious outliers.
All right,
it should not count under the whole point of Bruin.
Yes, it's an outlier. You shouldn't use it. And also, are you kidding me? The black codes are what you're hanging your hat on here? Again, it's just an amazing thing to watch. 6:50 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you need a new vehicle because, you know, you've had your one for too long, or just you're the kind of person that likes to refresh every couple years but you don't want to buy brand new, Frontier Motors, a great source of good quality used cars. Cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles is pretty much the sweet spot for them. Cars that you're then going to drive for a long time. They warranty every car they sell for 100,000 miles or 10 years. That's not something you pay extra for. That's just part of the deal. They give you a Carfax so you know the vehicle repair and maintenance history of that car. No charge. In fact, honestly, if you're buying a car from somebody else, like off of Facebook Marketplace or at, you know, Jim's Corner Car Lot Emporium, AAA Acme, whatever these names that people come up with. Anyway, and they don't give you a Carfax with that VIN, just take the VIN, you know, to Frontier, call them, say, hey, can you get a Carfax? And they'll do that for you. Now, I recommend you get a used vehicle inspection on a used vehicle because that will show you things that maybe the Carfax didn't have in it. But a Carfax is a great place to start. It's a very good basic piece of information. Anyway, it's included at Frontier. It's in the two. They give you two pieces of paper. One piece has all the prices. Second piece has all the Carfax stuff on it stapled to each other. And then you only talk about the bottom line out the door price, and it's very easy to work with them. I bought a car there. It was one of the easiest car buys I've ever had. I love them. They're a great company. Locally owned and operated for more than 25 years. Right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Yuck! The maudlin music of the university station.
Wow, wow, wow.
Well, it might be the maudlin music of the university station, but it still sounds out. I'll take it. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Cold! Hey, it's super cold. I hope you got your shrubs and whatnot covered last night. Don't leave your pets out. You know the drill. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning.
Hello.
Caught me right in the middle of recording. I assume you want headlines.
Sure.
Well, let's start with this one. This Wednesday, Andrew, marks 40 years since the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster, one of the most painful moments in America's space history. Challenger broke apart just 73 seconds into launch from Cape Canaveral, killing seven astronauts, bringing the space program to a halt. Of course, immediately following that disaster, President Reagan addressed the nation.
We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them. This morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
The Challenger crew was honored alongside astronauts from Columbia and the Apollo 1 crew at ceremonies last week, and there's more tributes planned at NASA centers across the nation here this week.
It's also the anniversary of Boris Yeltsin in 92 announcing Russia would stop targeting us with nuclear weapons in our cities. And in 1998, one of the most famous comments on TV by a politician.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
It's one of the greatest... one of the most amazing bald-faced lies in American history of politics. And how dare you? I've got to get back to work and stop being distracted. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Just
28 years ago today.
It's crazy. I can't believe how time flies.
It's been almost as long as Monica Lewinsky was old at the time. Go ahead.
Well, okay, there we go. Former Olympic snowboarder linked to murder and narcotics crimes is expected to appear in federal court in California today. Ryan Wedding, he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He was taken into custody in Mexico City on Thursday. And the Fed set to announce its first interest rate decision of the year this week. It'll happen Wednesday, right after a two-day meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee. It is expected that they will not be changing interest rates.
Thanks so much, Dave. By the way, I correct myself. She was 22 at the time, and it's been 28 years since then. Just for perspective. So that makes her 50. Is that right? I thought she was a little older than that. Anyway, I'm sure my math is a little off in some way or another, but roughly the same. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
The front gate of NS Pensacola is looking really good right now. Highway 90 is clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. It's 6:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. This is... There's so much to be said about this story. And for those of us who, you know, those of you who are in the military, those of us who care about the military, big story came out over the weekend that the Department of Defense, Department of War, sorry, that's one I don't mind so much, is revising how it does military moving. So when you change station, right, you know, they move you. Well, historically, this has been apparently, I did not know this, but a giant catastrophe. They're creating a permanent change of station joint task force. is being redesignating that into a new personal property activity based at Scott Air Force Base in Illinois, just outside of St. Louis. And the idea is it'll be a standalone federal agency, so it won't be a Navy institution or an Air Force institution. It'll be its own thing that will comprehensively handle all of the PCSs, all the moving for all of the people in the military. For example, apparently giving you one point of contact for your move as opposed to a massive bureaucracy, having, you know, a system that works, that doesn't add stress, because the idea is that if you stress families and you stress members of the military, you can't focus on your mission or you're worried about all this stuff going on back home. I think this is a huge development that Pete Hegseth is putting in place. It's the first true structural reset, according to military.com, in the history of the military moving program. In addition to getting beyond the sort of provincial Navy versus Marine versus whatever, this is supposed to put all of those together. And I mean, look, the military is good at logistics. Why is the military that's good at logistics so bad at moving people around? Well, I mean, that's the problem that they're going to try to fix. So more than 600,000 military families move, and they can pay more than $8,000 in out-of-pocket expenses just to settle in every year. And it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be a problem. Stuff shouldn't get broken. Like, it should run well. And the purpose of this new sort of joint operation based in Scott Air Force Base is to make that happen for people. And, you know, again, if they can pull it off, this seems like a big win for our military families.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
23 inches of snow. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That is the biggest total in the massive storm measured in Pennsylvania. There's at least a foot of snow in a dozen other states and a lot of ice across the South.
Been a very difficult situation in our state. I will say that. We've had a truly historic storm.
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee. His state has the most power outages still this morning out of the 800,000 homes and businesses without electricity. And Lee tells Fox it's tough on crews with ice-covered trees.
Very dangerous situations. These limbs are falling down every day and every minute.
Driving remains difficult, too, from Texas to New England. Fox's Rich Edson's in Washington, D.C.
Walking around here isn't exactly like walking through the snow. It's walking on top of the snow. That's because of that layer of ice that sits on top. Top of it, it's a big mess to try to remove from roads and sidewalks, but they are trying here. The plows are out. Number of stores and transit all trying to get back on track here on this Monday.
The storm is blamed for at least 9 deaths, including a teenager killed in a sledding accident in Texas. Her sled was being pulled by a Jeep at the time. There could be more deaths in Bangor, Maine, where a small plane went down last night in snowy conditions, then caught fire.
8 people were on board the private aircraft when it crashed around 7:45 local time on Sunday evening. Fox 26 Houston reports that the tail number of the plane is linked to a Houston, Texas law firm. There is no word on the conditions of those on board.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. For those trying to take flights as the storm wanes, it's still difficult at airports. Another 3,800 cancellations. Yesterday, there were more than 11,000 flights grounded, the most since early COVID times, March 30th, 2020. The anti-ICE protests continue in Minnesota. Angry over Saturday's shooting that left protester Alex Preddy dead. Democrats demand federal agents leave and that evidence from the shooting be preserved, which a judge ordered before a hearing today. Deputy U.S. Attorney General Todd Blanche tells Fox.
We're going to go to court to say exactly what we're doing, which is, of course, we're investigating. We always investigate any conduct like this, any shooting like this. And
America's listening to Fox News.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19, but if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Here's a tale of Linda trying to lose weight, but the med prices she found were all over the place.
Hidden fees and markups made her jaw drop low. Then she found GoodRx. Now she's in the know.
GLP-1 subscriptions FDA approved.
With clear upfront pricing.
And same-day pickup.
That's GoodRx, the no-nonsense way. Save time and money on prescriptions.
Get to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
The Senate returns this week on deadline to do what the House did last week, approve funding for the government through September. If not, there will be another shutdown. And What happened over the weekend in Minnesota could throw a wrench in the works.
The Senate is set to vote this week on a package of bills to fund the government through the end of September. The minibus will include the funding bill for the Department of Homeland Security, and Democrats have made clear they want reforms and restrictions on ICE. That could make getting the 60 votes needed to break the Senate filibuster a challenge. The package also includes funding for the Department of War and Housing and Urban Development. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Stocks could drop to start the week. Futures have been down, but only modestly after slight losses last week at the gas pump.
The gasoline price slide did come to an end. In these 2 weeks, the price is up by one penny, with a new average for a regular at $2.90 per gallon.
And analyst Trilby Lundberg expects prices could rise some more. AAA's national average for regular is a bit less than her survey of stations, $2.88 per gallon. That is still almost a quarter less than a year ago. The Super Bowl is set. New England versus Seattle. A rematch of the big game 11 years ago, the Patriots won with a dramatic goal line stand in the closing seconds.
8 seconds left. Loaded up near side. Nakua, is he out of bounds?
Oh, my God.
3 seconds. We're going to run the clock. That's going to do it. The Seahawks soar to Super Bowl 60.
Kevin Burkhart with Tom Brady on Fox TV. The Seahawks held off the Rams 31-27 to win the NFC Championship. Seahawks favored over the Patriots by 4.5 points in Super Bowl 60. New England back in the big game for the first time in 7 years. Patriots held off the Broncos in snowy Denver 10-7.
That's Fox's Jared Max. Now, Super Bowl 60 will be played in Santa Clara, California, a week from this Sunday, February 8th. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Good morning, 7:05 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got a bit of a chilly start to our morning. It is 30 degrees right now with cloudy skies. Starting out, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning. Traffic's brought to you by BathFitter.com, the leader in bathroom innovation. With the BathFitter PermaFit solution, your new tub or shower is built to fit perfectly and guaranteed for life. Visit BathFitter.com. Taking a look at the big board, I-10 and 110 both flowing smoothly right now. If you are on US 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smooth as well. Mobile Highway, clear through Beulah. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Well, thank you very much, PJ. A comprehensive renovation plan for the Pensacola Bay Center could transform downtown Pensacola's entertainment and convention capabilities. Legends Global presenting a feasibility study last Friday proposing $189 million in improvements. Including 71 at the Pensacola Bay Center, including $71 million for arena renovations, $84 million for a new event center, nearly $30 million for a practice ice rink. The plan would add seating, expand the stage to increase concert capacity by 1,800 seats, and create 55,000 square feet of convention space. Doug Thornton with Legends Global says the Bay Center needs some significant work if it's going to stay competitive.
Mobile's not going away. they're going to build that building, and if you don't do something, you will be left behind. Okay, now we're going to be realistic. We're dealing with a 40 plus year old Bay Center. They're building a new arena, but what you will have is the same, actually a little bit larger seating capacity for your concerts than they will have.
And according to the study, the project would generate an estimated $59 million in economic impact and could eliminate the county's current subsidy of Bay Center operations. Commissioners will be continuing to look at the proposal, and they are planning to meet in a joint meeting with the Pensacola City Council, who are conducting their own study. And 7:07 here at News Radio 92.3. A 68-year-old man died on Friday after crashing into the Yellow River at the end of Ward Basin Road in Milton. Witnesses reported seeing the truck going 75 to 85 miles per hour, being pursued by a second vehicle that was trying to stop it. Some neighbors say it's not the first time somebody's driven into the river at that location. They want more safety features on the road. Santa Rosa officials, though, say the road already has flashing yellow lights, rumble strips, and a reduced speed limit. It's 7:08. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
It is going to be a very cold start to your day with breezy conditions. Temperatures starting off in the 20s, feeling much cooler with the wind. High near 43 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back below freezing, 24 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, sunny skies, high near 48. And Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 20s, 28 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
30 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies. Your next news at 7:30 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local, dependable.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery. So when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.